Okay, how did that go? Yes, we are recording now. So welcome to the Learning Materials Development Working Group for January. I hope everybody can see the screen where the learning group description is and the antitrust policy. I'm just going to give it to like another minute while people can read that.
Actually, I don't see your screen.
You don't see my screen?
There, it disappeared.
It disappeared. Okay, how about now?
Yep, it's there.
Yes. Okay, yes. So I guess it disappeared when I hit record, so now it's back. Okay, so we'll just a minute to read through the antitrust policy. Okay, good. I'm going to, let me see if I can get the participant list back. Again, I'm Bobby and I'm the chair of the Learning Materials Working Group. And we're here to help develop community documentation and learning materials. So I'm going to turn it over to Flavia to introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Flavia Tronca and I'm an instructional design manager for the Linux Foundation. In a nutshell, what I do on a daily basis is coordinate all the e-learning related projects. So training e-learning open source technologies that the Linux Foundation hosts. So in particular related to Hyperledger, I coordinate with this group anything related to the edX MOOC or any other suggestions for new courses that you may have. I know Jim may have something in store later on for us on Fabric later this year, if I remember correctly, Jim. So anything, any ideas that you have for a new training course on edX, please feel free to reach out to me at any point in time and we'll discuss.
Great, thank you. How about you, Jim?
Actually, on courses zero. So I was working at DMX on, we were actually going to produce some courses in the developer space, but then DMX gave up on that whole initiative. So it sounds idiotic. We probably went through 40% of the work to build the courses out with content and questions and all that kind of stuff. And then they abandoned that whole thing. So that's unfortunately for me not happening. The reverse of it is I'll say we already have from the Linux Foundation, the Hyperledger Fabrics Certified Administrator Program, which looks pretty good. I am guessing, and maybe Flavio, you know better by far than I would. Version 2 of Hyperledger Fabric is coming out this week. And at some later point, and I'm guessing on this one, it'll be around July when they probably update the administrator course to go from version 1.4, where it currently is, up to 2.1 or whatever it is at that point. Any thoughts on that, Flavia?
Well, it first of all, it depends on when the exam will move to version 2.0. So because we're trying to coordinate either right before the exam goes live on the new version or immediately after. So we haven't really discussed, or I'm not aware of discussions at this particular point in time about timelines for that, but I will let you know once I know more.
The reason I ask that, and it would be probably important to communicate a roadmap out to everybody on that, is that looking at version 2, it's radically different than version 1. And so, as an example, if I were, I haven't enrolled yet in the CA training course and certification program. If I had already enrolled in it and I was targeting, you know, say April or May to go through the certification testing at that point, it would be a huge issue if they had flipped, let's say in May, they flipped from version 1 to version 2 on this, the administrator exam, because it's got to be radically different based on the complete difference in the architecture. It's just the differences are monumental. And it would be, all I'm saying is anybody who enrolls in that stuff needs a much longer runway to do their planning on the training side. To get ready for the exam. So, you know, if I knew it was going to flip to, you know, whatever version 2 in June, I'd say, fine, rush and get it done now and be sure you're done by May. But if I don't know what that target date is, it'll be, you're going to lose a lot of people, I guess, in the wash, so to speak. They'll have gone through version one training and will definitely not be able to pass the version two course for sure.
Got it. I'll bring this up with the team. As you probably know, there is a pretty highly, strongly enforced firewall between training and certification. Training, for example, only uses the public competencies and domains that are available for everyone when building training. We don't have access to what's specific in the exam. But at least for this particular, like for these kind of discussions, you know, like when are you planning to come out with 1.4? If those domains and competencies are changing and things like that, we do discuss, obviously, and coordinate. I'll bring this up, and because it's so radically different, I'll try to figure out what's the timeline. And
yeah, and if you need somebody to join you on a call to strong arm whoever you're talking to, I'd be happy to be that guy.
We can't do that. I'm sorry. That's internal, that, you know, right. The but, Linux Foundation team.
But what I will say is they at least owe the training people a detailed, I'll call it curriculum. They do not owe you, obviously, questions and that stuff. That's their stuff for the exam side. But they should at least identify in great detail, I'll call it the areas covered on the content side, and that's it. And if they do that much, I think you're right, then you have enough input on your end to say.
So the only thing that, I mean, what we use on the training side is the domains and competencies, the list that is publicly available to everyone. We don't have more insight than that.
And
that's
right,
where the firewall right. ends. So if we have that, obviously, it's enough of a guideline, just like for anyone else that's, you know, preparing right. for the exam right. to put together the training. And then with that, obviously, we'll go to the content authors, the course authors, and they'll be able to work on updates. So, sure. You know, I'll reach out to our certification team and we'll try to figure out what the timeline is for that. I haven't heard discussions, as I mentioned, but we're working on it. So okay. I'll let you know once I find more.
And then the other thing is, again, on the other exam, the developer certification one, that is supposed to come out sometime this quarter, right?
Yes. Is in, I think, alpha testing right now or beta, something like that. So it is, you know, I think it's scheduled for next month or early March in coordination with the global forum. There's not, you know, there's still a lot of things to do based on testing and all that, but it is this quarter scheduled as of right now, and it doesn't look like there's any delays to that.
So I'm going to get, and I'm guessing on this, but I'll say you'll do it probably the same way you did the administrator one, where you'll say, okay, we're announcing the developer one. We have the exam available and we have the training material and you can subscribe.
We don't have a training material as of right now. We had an author lined up and they basically went out of business. So right now we're looking for alternatives.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep going with the introductions and then we'll
sorry about
jump
that.
Right back to that sorry. Point because it is first on our agenda. So John, if you want to introduce yourself, if you have a mic.
John Carpenter. And I'm with the Global Blockchain Summit, and I've done a lot of Hyperledger training, do a lot of work with the Government Blockchain Association as well, and have been going in to update some of the use cases in the materials there. And I also got some additional feedback from IBM recently that I'm going to be adding in as well.
Awesome. Great. We do have that on the agenda, so hopefully you'll jump in on that conversation. How about Carrie? You want to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Carrie Lemoy. I am a technologist in the education space, and I'm doing research with the Department of Education on blockchain implementations in the education space. And I am working on this research right now, and I've been working on a taxonomy that I wanted to run by this group. I'm in the education architecture special interest group as well. And, you know, it was suggested that I bring this taxonomy to you folks to see what you would think, or you could bring it to your teams too.
Yep, that's on the agenda too.
And then Bobby, I'm sorry, Bobby, I can only stay until 1:30, so.
Oh, okay. We'll jump on
I can be very quick.
Yeah, we'll get right on that part. We're going to go to the edX real quick, and then that will section next. And then Natalie, if you just want to say hi, we'll jump right in.
Okay, hi, I'm Natalie. I'm a project manager focused on community and open source. And then the topics that I'm interested in, we're going to cover later on.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to jump right in. So the first thing on the agenda, which we'll talk about a little later, is just the working group task force and the TSC and how we report to them. So that's we'll table that for the end of the discussion. So with the edX updates, as we were talking about, in that conversation, Jim, you did mention that the 2.0 is coming out. And how much of a support long-term is the 1.4 going to get?
I was in the contributors meeting on Wednesday last week, and they did say that the policy is going to be whenever they have a major release, like the 2.0, whatever that GA date is, they were proposing minimum 9 months full support for what they call the long-term support version. So in fact, actually, and they're even going to have a 1.4.5 release coming out shortly on the 1.4 branch. The only thing is the functional difference between that long-term support 1.4x branch and 2.0 will continue to grow as the 2x release gets more and more features, to the point that, you know, the older version, if you will, even if it's supported, will present significant functional gaps, you know, mm-hmm. to companies that want to use the older long-term support release. But they did lay out a plan that they were committing to 9 months minimum on a long-term support release after the next version GAs.
Wow, thank you for that. And I know that we had a request to do the take the exam for that course that's coming out. And I know, I think Ravi, who's not on the call, might have taken advantage of that, but I'm not sure. So I'll get an update on that for the next call. And then again, we're just waiting for some of these courses that people had mentioned to come through to get edited. And if you want to be one of the editors, so that when Flavia hits us with something quickly saying, can you guys proofread this? We have a certain amount of people on here that can take the job right away and, you know, get the work done in the time frame that we need to. So that's available for anyone who wants to add their name to that. And then the only other thing I'm going to go back to is to ask Flavia if there's any other updates.
So if you want to go back to that screen that you just showed, regarding edX courses, I can tell you that tomorrow a new version of the blockchain, understanding its uses and implications, LFS 170, is going live. We already have almost 2,000 enrollments because enrollment opened for V2 in December. So tomorrow will be live. Also, we will be going live on March 4th with the second course from Stephen Curran, the Becoming an Arias Developer course. And that actually will be combined with the first one that went live last year in November into a professional certificate. So Hyperledger basically in March will have two professional certificates on edX, one on a general, like just a blockchain for business. And then the second one is targeted towards developers and will be developing Hyperledger or blockchain based identity applications. That's the name of it. But it will combine LFS 172 and the upcoming 173 course. And other than that, that's it in terms of edX. For now, I think we're fine and there's no review needed from the group. If Jim will have, you know, a fabric tech course similar to the Sawtooth one on edX later on based on the new version of fabric, then we'll be able to talk at that point. Like on specifics, how to develop the content, where, how we collaborate and all that.
Yeah, so that was the course I mentioned earlier that mm-hmm. the BMX is actually working on. We were sponsoring it, working on it. that's 40 to 50% done, but unfortunately DMX has died off completely on the education side, so we're not going to be able to do anything on that end for sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know that the content's worth anything. I've got content and certainly be happy to review, you know, somebody else's content as well, but we're certainly not going to be able to produce that technical application course design, even though we're currently working in that space.
Okay, so that's, as of right now, at least it's been discontinued.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll update the wiki after the call. Thank you.
Any other questions for me?
Are you going to the Global Forum?
No.
Oh, I was hoping to meet you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't really go to Linux Foundation events much because I work in the background. You know, but yeah, no, I won't be there. Maybe, I don't know, sometime in the future, who knows.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. You have a wonderful day. If you knew, you know, you have, if you have questions, please reach out to me. You can either do it in the group or just email me directly.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, and then just because Carrie has to jump off soon, we're just going to go to the key terms items. So I'll let Carrie talk about this email, and we have it a link to it on our Google page. So go ahead, Carrie.
Thanks, Bobby, and thanks for inviting me here today. It was really great. As I mentioned in my intro, I'm doing this research with the Department of Education. And we've so far uncovered about 80 projects that are blockchain in education. These are not all Hyperledger, by the way. They're all sorts of different things. And very quickly, we started trying to categorize them and realized there was no language to do that. And this taxonomy could possibly be a fool's errand. But I am wondering if there is a way to, you know, develop a glossary for things that describe projects. So for instance, you'll see that we have these different types of projects listed in here in the document that I created. And if you can ignore what's below the top table there, this is where folks are putting in other comments for other taxonomies. But I could use your help if you have the time and are available and have an interest in thinking through these terms and what these definitions are and thinking through about what's missing and how they could be used. And my thought is that this goes beyond education, and then in many spaces, there's a way where you would want to be able to describe a type of a project without having to go into all the various pieces, especially to non-technical folks, which of course these words might be too technical, but for instance, I'm going to go right to say the intermediary system. And we have something in our space called block certs, which is a way to use different kinds of blockchains to issue credentials. Like education credentials, but it doesn't have its own blockchain. So, I just sort of thought I'd bring it to you and get your input and see what you may think of this approach and get your thoughts.
Have you talked to the smart contracts working group? I think they're working on a taxonomy as well.
Oh, really?
And I think Kelly Cooper, when she used to run the calls for the when this used to be called, I think, the training and education group, I think there was some other person in this group that was working on definitions or some sort of glossary. I forgot his name, but Kelly, who's in the smart contracts group.
I think his name is
Sheer. Sorry?
His name might have been Sheer.
That does sound...
Oh, yeah, it is Sheer. That's correct. I know Sheer.
And I think what we did as a working group, if you're still seeing my screen here, we were kind of trying to keep that alive. So in one of the things in our resource library, we've been working on key terminology, and I did take the words, the terms that you were working on and put them in here. There's another glossary for marketing that I put in here. And then there's also just terms that we've been working on. So again, we've been gathering all the glossaries from all the different projects, and hopefully, again, someone might take this up on our task signup. So one of the things in the task signup for our group has always been this key terminology. And hopefully, after the global forum, we'll get more people involved and we'll have enough bandwidth for someone to actually take that project on. But we do have a place where we, again, have been trying to store.
Well, I suspect that's why I was sent your way.
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah, we don't want to try to, you know, do the work twice. So again, now I wasn't aware of the taxonomy going on in the smart contract group, but I work closely with Kelly, so I'll just send her an email and find out if, you know, she can give us also alternative definitions for when we decide to, again, we're working as a, the working group is working to get this done. And then once it's finished, we're going to go talk to the TSC as signing this up almost as like a task we're working on. And report to them and see what they want us to do, if they want us to change it, alter it, but we have to consolidate it and make it make sense before we present it to them. So basically that's where we are as the working group.
Okay, great. Would it be helpful if I just, you know, stay in touch with you folks in this group?
That would be great. And if you ever feel like grabbing a term and working on it, or, you know, doing a section under these key terms for just project, you know, overall terminology, you know, separated out, that would be great too. If not, somebody in the group will help you out whenever you need it.
Well, that'd be awesome. I know there are other glossaries out in the world, but I'll take a look at this and see if any of it fits together.
Yeah, again, it hasn't really been had an owner yet or an agent taking it over, so.
Okay,
thank you. Anybody have any questions on that? Go back to our agenda.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming and joining the call.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so actually I want to go to our meeting notes because I try to keep track of what we're talking about pretty cohesively here. So getting back to the GitHub repository, so we're jumping back to our agenda after the edX information. So Natalie's on the call. I know that I think we have a new repository, yay. So I'll let you discuss what's going on.
Okay, so we made a request to the community managers to get a GitHub/learning materials dev repository where this group can put our materials. Right now, I think all it's got in there is a license. And so now it's up to us to sort of populate it with both rules and content. So the types of rules I was thinking make sense to document are the responsibilities of contributors, responsibilities of maintainers, how to submit contributions, how to report issues. Once we have content, we can examine if the license that's been provided initially makes sense. We should also have some documentation requirements for contributions. Sort of like, you know, if someone contributes something, how should it be tested? Make sure that they have contact information in there so that if people have questions, we know who to go to. Sort of what is the desired end product for publishing that content that's in there? Because the way I see this is that development repo would be where we start the very early stages of something. But Bobby, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that the work that this group puts together eventually shows up someplace else in something that's more polished and public facing, sort of with the Hyperledger official documentation. Is that correct? Bobby, is that correct?
Sorry about that. Bobby. I was on mute. I don't know if you got the flavor from Flavia's call, but again, she's looking for, you know, the end product from these repositories. So again, each of the projects kind of work on their own documentation, but it is kind of specific. There's no real community hub for it. So again, I'm not really sure with the governance model how the information is going to flow in to this repository. But I know that in the past, once it was there, people in the group were more than willing to, you know, go through things and, you know, make commits and try to get the work done.
So that's like, I can understand that we would want to have people contributing to sort of the initial development of material, but doesn't Hyperledger officially publish things in various places? So shouldn't that early material that this group develops end up in one of those official places as opposed to just living in a repository that's sort of being worked on?
You mean, okay, so when you're talking about other places, so...
like a course or a official document or a manual, right?
Well, the way the courses flow to edX, and that's again out of Hyperledger, the Hyperledger courses themselves that we offer, I'm not really sure how they get, you know, information gets to them. I'm just going to real quick just go to... and see if this is what you're referring to more than anything else.
I mean, it's really just, those are just examples of where information could go. But yeah, any of these, like under resources, any of those official pages, right? Yeah, because like a learning materials development repository would be a lot of, I would imagine, like draft type material. And so where would the final polished versions go that have like nice graphics and sort of get adopted by some group that will then go on to maintain it long term?
Good question. Right now, again, we've just started opening the GitHub. The functionality of it last time had just been to help out with courseware. And the LF courses, you know, the 171 or whatever would be in there, and then we'd read through them and proof them that way. Now Flavia just contacts us directly and we just do it through the wiki page. I don't know who feeds that. I think this flows through the marketing department, and I can ask them on the next call. They meet on Tuesdays, I think second Tuesday of the month. And I think they would know exactly, you know, how once something gets in that repository vetted and cleared, how it gets put up on the official sites and what is the need of those official sites, I think is more the question.
Right. Actually, it would be good to know like what are the needs, because otherwise could we be creating things that have no need and have no end destination?
Yes, that was the fault of this group a while ago. We started working on user guides for different audiences, and it never got off the ground. And we had spent, like Jim was talking previous, a lot of time working on it, and it never went anywhere. So we don't want to do that again. So let's figure out what the needs are. So I'll jump on that marketing call on the following Tuesday in February and ask them what, you know, that system looks like, so that we can figure out how we can meet those needs.
Yeah, it would be good to have like that list, and then probably people like Ravi are volunteering to contribute their material, and then we can try and do some sort of matching between what people are volunteering to create and what the needs are.
Well, and I know in the community a lot of people are doing a lot of work and they don't know where to put it. So I've been trying to just, for the resource library, like for the special interest groups, when they try to come up with something, I try to put it, our group is trying to put it so that it's somewhere. But again, it doesn't leave the wiki. It doesn't really get that high level exposure. So it is a good question to ask the marketing department that.
Okay. So I guess in terms of the like just the general governance for the repository, since we don't have that many people on this call, maybe what I'll do is I'll take it to the mailing list, and that way people can chime in if they have an opinion.
Perfect. Perfect. And is there any, in the community, I haven't looked, guidelines for the repositories?
Well, there's like that best practices badge area that we were looking at the other day, I was taking a look at some of those items, like some of those items may make sense to incorporate, but others are just, I guess, common sense.
Yeah. It's always nice to write that down, though.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'll, again, we'll just keep working on, put it out to the group, see what, you know, response you get. That would be awesome. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, we're going to keep, so that was the report for the GitHub repository. Moving on to the webinar standards, Grace from the BASU community sent us an email. She has a proposal for what, this is very interesting, for what webinar material should look like. We're going to develop some standards for that. And I think she's suggesting in here, again, recordings of the presentations in some kind of kiosk for us, because the public sector has great presentations, social impact has great presentations, and they're part of the recorded calls. But we would like the community to all be a part of those presentations. So instead of just when someone has a presentation available, maybe not only do it during their calls, but put it up on this kiosk for people to look at, and even have maybe a community quarterly presentation of the month or quarter, whatever. I think it's a really good idea, something for people to comment on. Anybody else have anything?
Do we have the link to the template they're referencing there?
No, I don't believe the template's started yet. She's just writing down some thoughts. Okay. And again, we've never really worked on webinar standards. What we do have is use cases explaining things, but not really professionalized webinars around them.
Right. Well, there is a presentation template, though, in the Google Drive. So maybe that's what she's referring to.
Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find that. That would probably be in the marketing on our homepage, the marketing Google Drive. And it would be... You're saying for the webinars?
So, I mean, if the webinars are just based on presentations, then there's that slide deck.
Yeah, I have the whole
template.
Empty template is on our homepage too, but here's like an idea of what it tells you what to do. So again, if the webinars are based on these slides, I guess she was just more talking about the framing of the webinars, you know, like how you introduce yourself, what you say about Hyperledger, you know, getting a script kind of together for that. Any ideas?
Basically, the template you opened up, I guess I would recommend redoing that template just to show here's the table of contents, you know, the agenda, not the table of contents, the agenda, I should say. An agenda page, a sample bio page, and then I'll call it common topics. So usually when you present a webinar or, you know, do it in person, whatever you're doing, there is this notion of we're going to introduce the topic, we're going to break up and go through the sections of the topic, and then we're going to summarize what we covered, and then we'll have a Q&A and, you know, any key points out there. You know what I mean? So there's at least a minimal agenda format that's common. Doesn't mean you couldn't change it, but there's not a reason not to throw that in there.
When I was in school, they called that the IDARE approach. Introduction, development, application, review, and evaluation.
Yeah, I like that. There you go. So I apologize, Bobby. You have it. You're responsible. Let's make the IDARE agenda.
No, not me.
No, but I like that. That's exactly what it is, because I've done a lot of sessions. And when I did, every time there was a structured model for it. And when we did introductions, the one thing that was kind of interesting was always to do what I call a two-way introduction. So, hi, I'm Jim Mason, you know, with SkyWeb team or whatever. And then you go on and you talk about, you know, and who are you and why are you here kind of a thing. What are you looking to get from it? So if you do it live, maybe get some feedback. If you're not doing it live, you're at least asking the same questions of the audience, you know, as to why you're here and what you expect to get from the seminar. And then you jump into it usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll work on an outline for this so that it will fit in. I thought Salona would be on the call so she could talk a little bit more about what's happening at the Global Forum to showcase things. Because I'd like, if our working group has any time at a kiosk, I'm not really sure where the sign up is for that. But I do know that we have time, which we'll get into next, recording a session for this working group as a promo to get members. And I'm looking for actors, so I was hoping somebody on the call would put their face in front of a camera for the working group at the Global Forum, but we'll get into that in a minute. So I'll work on this so that hopefully we have something, again, a good standard for this. We have the white paper standard, we have the use case standards, the graphics sets in there, the RFP, you know, we're getting a good template library together under this best practice page. So I'll work on this. Does anybody have any more comments?
IBM had done something like this a long time ago when they were promoting WebShare. They actually did these short TV commercials. So you go there, they film you for 5 minutes asking you a bunch of questions, get your feedback, and then they edit it down to like 30 seconds kind of a thing. But they wound up doing TV commercials that they pushed out that way for the topic. And I think the concept of doing this makes sense.
And getting down in our new business, we have, a sign-up sheet, and I'll show you all that in a second. So that should go really over really well, I think. Again, and we talked about Kerry's email here. We don't have any more information on the core infrastructure initiatives, how to update our badge. So if you go in our best practice badges for the projects, nothing's been done this week on that. But here for, again, on our new member sign up, I'm going to see if I can. Oh, where'd it go? I'll link it down here. So, this is the kiosk for the special interest groups. That's not the video slots. Okay, so I signed our group up for, like I said, a presentation. So what this is there's a recording studio at the Global Forum, and we'll get a schedule for when we're, you know, have our time slot. And hopefully we'll have a scripted presentation to get new members to join our group. So any thoughts on this?
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea, Bobby.
Does anybody want to help out with the script? I mean, it's based, I guess, off of our, what new welcome member page, you know, getting people involved. And this is,
I will say this, how many of these sessions are they looking to do, these video sessions? At least 10 or 12.
Yeah, this is work group and project and task force, I think.
Right.
So this is I think that the kiosks are separate. So this is just a recording studio for anyone who wants some time.
Oh, okay.
The other, let me get back to, yeah, this is the kiosks. So for the special interest groups, this is where you would sign up. And again, I haven't seen any working group sign up, nor have I gotten any information from the Global Forum if the working groups are going to have a kiosk. So there's a special interest group kiosk and a project kiosk, but you notice the working group kiosk is missing. So I was going to bring that up to Salona if she was on the call. Instead, I'll just shoot her an email.
So the kiosk is really an open forum for doing any kind of a message then, right?
What I think is they're going to have a place at the forum manned, and you can, you know, take a shift for like an hour or something, and it would be like your working group's time to explain itself at the kiosk.
Okay.
You know, so when people walk by, it's going to be like kind of centrally located in a high traffic area, so that people who are interested can just go over and say, hey, what is your working group, or what is your, sorry, special interest group about? So that, again, there's a sign up for the special interest groups, which I don't know if we just started putting our working group, because there's way more signups than there is special interest groups. And if you count the slots, I think it's a, let's do the math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And I guess would all the groups actually have someone in person at the event though?
Well, that's why you wouldn't sign up if you didn't have someone committed to doing a time period. You know, like right now, only these three groups have signed up for slots. The public sector working special interest group isn't in here, so maybe they're not. They don't have anyone going.
Actually, I'm going to be there. So yeah, the funny part is I'm in a couple of different groups, but you're right. The groups I'm in haven't signed up.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, it might be the communication. There were no emails sent out to the group saying please sign up here. Which is something I guess the TSC has to work on, because that flow of communication isn't easy coming from the people who make decisions on these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping I'll just double check to see if this is supposed to say special interest and working groups, because again, there's enough slots for both.
Yeah, Bobby, this is John. I think that's probably the intent, because even if you look at the dropdown from projects on the website, you'll see, you know, they're kind of all baked into the same dropdown for the groups.
Yeah.
So I would just say maybe even sign up on one of them. I'm going to be out at the forum, so, you know, I'm glad to help you out. And then, you know, if Salona wants to break it out as a separate deal, then she can always add that in that navigation.
Yes. Okay, so definitely we'll put ourselves in here. Let's just do it now.
So Bobby, when you look at that dropdown again, I didn't see, what's really kind of weird is the Fabric Documentation Working Group doesn't show up there, but it is somewhere else out on the wiki site.
But the fact, wait.
It's not listed there, but it is out there as a thing, even if it's not on that site.
Hold on, let me just see if you have.
So they have meeting notes and everything else, just like the other groups do, but it's not listed for some reason in the dropdown.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know who updates.
They must not have paid their dues or something, so who knows. I'll tell Anthony O'Dowd that he's behind on his dues and he's banned from the dropdown.
Maybe you can just tell one of the community managers or community architects. Maybe they can pop you on.
Yeah, I don't. Who are they?
I would do David Boswell.
David Boswell. He owns this wiki site?
I don't know if he owns it, but I know he has, if something needs to be done, he's usually the one that can get it done.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can reach out to him because I do contact him.
Because he's like a community manager, I think.
Yeah, it's true. He is. That's his title.
So I would definitely, yeah. So I'm going to hopefully update this to say special interest groups and working groups. And I think if anybody's going to be at the forum, if we want to pick a day, you want the first day, second day, third day, I'll put our names in at a random time and hopefully we'll make that session. Does that sound good?
Bobby, this is John. I was going to be doing a meetup, one of those birds of feather deal, the BOF tables, mm-hmm. on the first day. So I was thinking maybe the second day would be better for me.
Does anybody have any objections to the fourth?
No.
I just have to check. One of my presentations just got off the wait list and we're going to be putting it on with the public sector. So I think that's the second day. So we might have to move for the March 5th, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll definitely put, I'll do it right now. Even though we're a working group, I'll just take.
Perfect.
And then I guess also since the 5th and the 6th are the days that the videos are recording, I'm happy to help with the scripts, but I don't know if I'll be able to do the camera part because my flight on the 5th is at around 1 o'clock. But if we could get a recording session in the morning, I could probably help with that. So I don't know if that would then make more sense. To push the kiosk part later in the day, or if we'd be having different people working on the kiosk and different people working on the video.
I would hope that they were at different times, and that because our group is small, that we could do both, so we look very large rather than spread so thin. I can put in here a request for Thursday morning. And then I can change, go back to the 5th and just find out when the presentations are. So I'll work these two calendars so that they reflect, and I'll just put this in here now.
Yeah, so if we could get like the first slot in the morning, then I should be able to help out. But if it's too late, I'll have to run to the airport.
Okay. Okay, we'll see how that works. Okay, let's go back to the notes, see where we are.
Oh, but I guess my point was that I think you put down for 10:45.
Yeah, I'm going to go check to see what time or what day the presentation for the public sector is, and I'll move the other one around.
Okay.
So that they're not at the same time on Thursday. I'll move it back to Wednesday or kiosk. Okay, so I'll do that as soon as I check my email for that schedule. So then the only other, again, the use cases, someone said that they were gonna work on that, and I forgot to get their name, and I don't believe, I think there was some added. Hold on a second.
I did add, Bobby, this is John Carpenter.
Yes. Oh, you did add. There they are.
Yeah, I added several to the use cases, and then there was also some broken links in there, and did some more updates.
Great. Like thank you.
Let it go was not working correctly, and then I put True Tickets in there, which is kind of a nice signature Hyperledger project. And then I have three more that I have from IBM that I'm going to put in there that I just got in the last couple of days here.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Anybody have any comments on the use cases?
You went through the list quick. Do we have Trust Your Supplier in that list? No, I can't have that one.
Let me look at that real quick.
Yeah, because I can add it.
No, I don't believe it's in there.
Yeah, I can add it if you want. It's not a big deal.
Good.
It's just one.
Great.
Yeah, and anybody else who has any use cases that would fit in, just please feel free to add them.
Yeah, we've got another one, but the one we have is not released yet, so I can't add it at this point. It's going to be basically a sort of a global marketplace one for, I'll call it social benefit projects, if you will, but it won't be available till April, unfortunately.
Well, I look forward to seeing that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back, I think we're almost finished with everything. Let me just look the long way. And I'll update these notes for our conversation today. Getting back to one of our first items, there is a little confusion with the technical steering committee about what to do with the working groups now that they've dropped the requirement that we have a work product. They had moved to us doing a task force. They're still getting quarterly reports from the working groups, and the technical steering committee at the last meeting discussed whether that was still necessary. And they wanted thoughts. I was on a train, so I couldn't pipe in. So they're going to revisit this on Thursday at that call, whether they think the working group should report. I personally think they have to report, because if not, they're just not going to exist anymore if there's no purpose to do anything. And it's also very, I also think it's very, the reason they're floundering is because the communication from the TSC isn't there. I mean, right now, the way we figure out what's going on is we have to go through their decision log and see if it has anything to do with us, or go look at the agendas for the technical steering committee. And even that doesn't help, because working groups weren't on last week's agenda, and it was like 20-minute conversation. So I have no idea how to, what to say next week on the call, but they, I think, are looking for some input from the working groups. Does anybody have any thoughts?
Well, I do agree with your idea that there needs to be quarterly reporting just to say this is what was covered, this is what we're working on. Actually, I would say it's thinking of agile methodology with the same normal things that you answer three questions. What do we do? What are we trying to do going forward, and what's blocking us? And that those three questions just should be answered, period, regardless of whatever specific deliverables a group might come up with, which is different. So those three questions are pretty good, because especially if I'll say four or five groups came back with the same blocker, the TSC would read the quarterly reports and go, oh, look, the fact that we don't have a GitHub site is slowing everybody down, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. That would be useful.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great idea. I also think that the TSC, if they really want to streamline the working groups, they should set up subcommittees and have a special interest group subcommittee head and a working group subcommittee head, and they read the reports, and if there's anything that needs to be reported to the technical steering committee, they could bump it up a notch. But I do like the accountability for everyone on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. Besides, I'm excited because we're the learning group, and so we're going to get everybody to learn what blockchain is about.
Exactly.
And the way we're going to do that is the movie called Life Without Blockchain, which you haven't seen yet. But it's a combination of Life of Brian, Wayne's World, and Blues Brothers all put together, focused on blockchain and what happens when you don't have it in your life.
Can we do this for our learning group screening at the Global Forum when we do our try to record our commercial?
That's exactly where it came from. I was thinking of how to separate us from the other 29 commercials that are out there. And I'm positive if we did Life Without Blockchain, with a Monty Python approach to it, I guarantee you that it would be uniquely identified among all 29 entrants for sure.
I'm definitely in.
And have high visibility compared to the other ones.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you in, John?
Yeah, I'm totally in for that, Jim. I think you're brilliant, and I think that sounds like the way to go.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, that's great. So that basically was the discussion of the video from the Global Forum. I did put a section on our page for the new member video. Again, if we want to do that's such a great idea. I'm like smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, it'll crush whatever the opposition is, I'll say, out of the other 28 groups.
I like it. So next week you report back on a basic outline, right, Jim?
Yes, I can do that.
Awesome. Yeah, I am. I'm smiling from ear to ear on that one. All right, so that's it for me. The next meeting is February 10th. I hope to see everybody, and I can't wait to get started on that. Cool. Does anybody have any more questions?
Nope, I hope everyone has a great week.
Yep, I'll put the meeting recording and the notes up on our wiki and update the other scheduling things. And have a great week. I'll give you your
Thanks. Bye.
Back. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.